Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Jason, hello.
I mean, I was in the press box. I was like,
oh my God. Are you serious? I thought you were there as a fan.
No,
should have been coaching
God,
third.
No. Are you kidding? It was cold. There's no way I could be there as a fan. Let's see in the press
box. Wow. Well, never mind. I thought you were tough.
No,
it
doesn't. I was already downtown. I did Bruce Drennan's show yesterday, and I was already downtown, so I just walked over.
The press box sucks.
It counts.
It doesn't count. The press box sucks.
Whatever. I was at the game.
No, you were in the press box.
Everyone else was at the game.
Did you pay for a ticket?
No.
Then it doesn't count.
And they need your money now more than ever. You hear Paul Dolan every damn day. Paul Dolan's going to hire Sarah McLachlan as his next person to get people to go to Indians games here. That's how hard up they are.
That's a great line, actually. Thank there was nobody there last night. By the end of the game, I kind of blurted out to anyone who would listen, like, how many people are really here? Are there 100 people here? And there were definitely 100, but there's no way there were 500 people there by the end of the game last night.
How funny is Josh Naylor? Scale of 1 to 10.
Because of the base running or in general?
I just think in – The attempt to try to rob Miguel Cabrera on opening day, Bill Buckner-ing at first base, and then just blowing right through the stop sign like he was Leroy Jenkins last night. I find him hilarious. I really do. I like Josh Naylor because, hey, if I'm going to lose, I might as well laugh.
Well, I got news for you. Josh Naylor may be your first baseman in the future. So I wouldn't laugh too hard because he ain't going anywhere. He's going to be around a lot longer than Jake Bowers and Bobby Bradley and some of these other guys. One RBI. One RBI. He pulled into a tie with Jake Bowers last night when he doubled off the wall late in the game or whatever it was and knocked in a run for his first RBI of the year. That's a problem when you're an everyday player and you have one RBI.
That's one less than Francisco Lindor.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, there it is.
I got news for you. He's going to be the first baseman of your future. Well, come on into the stadium. Let's go watch the Tribe.
But you know what? You know what? Seriously, like, he's a great unknown to me. Like, no one really knows much about this
guy. They say he's a great teammate.
He was a decent prospect in the Padres system. They didn't have a spot for him. He was naturally a first base. Like, the Padres groom all of these hitters that they don't know what to do with, so they give them the Indians. Like, Franmil Reyes, great hitter, no position, awful defensively. Give him the Indians. Josh Naylor, good first baseman, not great defensively, average defensively, decent bat, they think, but they got Eric Hosmer signed long-term. Give him to the Indians. So, you know, anytime the Padres develop a hitter and they don't have a position for him, just give him to the Indians.
Oh, we'll take him. We'll take anything that's free. We ain't too proud. Go ahead, Tone.
Well, so far, I know it's so early. We're just 2 weeks into the season. Are the Indians about where you thought they'd be? I mean, the rotation, with the exception of the last couple starts – by Plesac has been really strong. Are they about where you thought they'd be?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of always thought that they're going to be on the fringes of the wild card. They're probably the third best team in the division this year. I've kind of looked at this as sort of a transition year. This is not a full tear down rebuild. But, you know, obviously they've got some bats in the minors that I think they're counting on that aren't ready yet. Tyler Freeman's probably the second baseman of the future starting next year. George Valera is a couple years away. So they're just in this in-between stage right now. The pitching is what it is. It's fantastic. Although I am kind of like, you know, I learned this a couple weeks ago. At some point, you can't just assume that the Indians can just sprinkle magic fairy dust and develop fantastic pitching. Like the pipeline has to end at some point, right? Like You don't trade Carlos Carrasco and Trevor Bauer and Corey Kluber and Mike Clevenger and get rid of all of these guys and just keep rolling. And right now they are. But I worry about an injury. If they're, like, the depth just isn't there right now. I think you're kind of at the end of the line until the next wave is ready. You know, I was talking to Zach Meisel last night about it. I know they love Sam Hentges, the reliever that came out last night out of the bullpen, made his major league debut. He may be more – Zach thinks he's more of an Andrew Miller-type reliever. My point is, I just don't know. You just can't keep expecting this organization to keep churning out the pitching that they are. It's just, to me, it's unrealistic to think that they can continue to do this the way that they have. It's unbelievable. It's like they've got the secret sauce. But being realistic, how long can you expect them to continue to do this?
Jason Lloyd joining us. Want to switch. I know we're going to get to some Cavs later, but to the Browns. We've talked a lot of Browns today. And we are just a week and away from the NFL draft. First of all, what's the excitement level of the fact that is in Cleveland? What do you see them doing at 26?
I hope it hails, because that was stupid to put it right on Lake Erie. Who would put a stage right on Lake Erie in April?
I hope
Roger Goodell is in a parka with a hat and gloves and freezing to death.
Wait, right now, hold on, Jay. Right now, we've got
It's going to be like 70.
Well, good. It's a 67 in rain right now.
Good.
Well, it's Cleveland. The forecast can change 15 times between now and next weekend. You know, the Browns are in a great spot. Like, how can you complain about where they are? You know, whoever's best available at 26, fine. You would assume it's going to be a defensive player, obviously. I did not love the Sheldon Richardson release. I was fine with Jadeveon Clowney. I kind of said it's a low-risk, high-reward signing, but not if it costs you Sheldon Richardson. Now, there's a little bit more at stake. And, you know, to me, Clowney, you know, why did Tennessee move on from him? Why did Mike Vrabel not want him back after coaching him twice? Why did Seattle move on from him after trading for him? Like, there's a reason he's on his fourth team in 4 years. And so I just think you need to reset expectations of what he's really going to provide you. And then when it costs you Sheldon Richardson on top of it, you know, now there's a little bit more at stake. So they're thin in the middle. This is not a great draft for defensive tackles. Let's see who they've got to add somebody, whether it's through the draft or free agency, you know, after the draft, if somebody's cut, whatever. You know, after losing Ogunjobi and Richardson, you have to do something in the middle. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. But, you know, I was talking to Dane Brugger a week or two ago. Maybe the Browns move out of the first round entirely. You know, would that really shock you? Would it really surprise you? And, you know, Dane was saying,
you do that when you host the draft? And I chronicled last year you had three teams that traded down out of the first – well, one out of the first, two later – in the first, but do you owe your fans that came and endured whatever the weather is and has been excited for a draft all these years to finally be in Cleveland and to not take a first-round pick?
No, you owe your fans to do what's best for the organization, regardless of what that is. But I'm not saying they're absolutely going to do it. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like Dane's point was, there's more room for error this year than past drafts because the pre-draft process hasn't been the same. Last year, the hay was in the barn last year by the time, you know, COVID hit and we got to the draft. They got the combine in, they got the Senior Bowl, and they got all that. So they had all the information. They knew what teams knew what they wanted to do. That's not the case this year. They haven't had the same in-person contact with these guys. They haven't been able to get their hands on them as much. They haven't really, you know, I don't know any team that could say they feel as good about their draft board going into this draft as they did any other year. There's going to be more questions. And for that reason, and the fact that there's not an overwhelming need, it wouldn't totally shock me if they moved out of the first round. You know, again, I'd say it's better than 50-50. They're going to make a pick somewhere in the first round, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if they traded out and given some of the different variables this year that the teams are fighting.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I happen to agree. I think there's going to be tons of crazy, crazy trades. I think there's going to be a ton of teams that may be willing to move down. I mean, in some cases, you might have a number one or number two rated prospect who didn't play in 2019 or is coming off an injury, like Caleb Farley, who we mentioned earlier in the show, a couple of other of those guys. Jason, when it comes to the Browns and their quarterback situation, you know, I haven't heard as much hand-wringing as we did, obviously, last year with Baker Mayfield going into what was really a make-or-break year for him. Going into this year, how much better off do you think he's going to be with another year with Kevin Stefanski, another year in this offense with the same people?
Do you think he goes even higher, or maybe it's another year in the Kevin Stefanski offense where defenses have it on tape and they're going to throw a couple of different things at him?
No, I mean, this is the first time he's had any sort of stability in his career. So, I expect him to take another step. I expect him to build off of how last year finished and not how last year began. I said last time I was on with you guys, I would not extend him this summer. He's got 3 years. We have 1.5 good, 1.5 pretty bad. That's not enough to me to invest in a guy long term. I want to see him do it again for a full year. And if he does it for a full year, happily pay him next year, even if it costs you a little bit more. But just the stability of the system, just knowing the terminology, knowing the language, and being able to build on something is huge. And so, I fully expect them to build off of last year. Defenses are going to have tape on Stefanski. Okay, fine. Lana, how many times have you said it? You can only scheme so many different ways. You can only run so many different patterns. No one's reinventing the wheel here. I don't think that's really going to have a big impact on Baker in a negative way. I'm just excited to see what the next step is in his progression and just having that continuity with Alex Van Pelt and with this offense and with Kevin Stefanski. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal if he doesn't get the guys together for some of the offseason workouts that he did last year. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. Everyone knows each other. They know they've got the rhythm now. They know what guys like, what guys don't like. So, no, I think it's all a good thing.
Lima was going to say something. I beg your pardon. Go right on ahead, Tone.
Oh, I just want to know if you would take the over, knowing there's 17 games and it went from 9.5 to 10, and you know you're playing Arizona. Are you taking the over?
Yeah, I would. I would. I think they're at least going to get to 11 in the 17-game schedule. I would absolutely take the over on them.
May I go now?
Yeah.
Did you listen to anything we said yesterday about the Cavs?
No. Okay. I was busy. I was working yesterday.
No, you weren't. You haven't worked in years.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, I know how you operate.
That's going to get out.
Or lack thereof. Well, Lima actually said I was being a little too hard on Colin Sexton.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's a role reversal.
I know.
Well, I got to give Colin credit here. He's been, when I look at all these other I check box scores every day. Every day, how some people are with baseball, that's how I am with the NBA. I check every box score in the league, and I see guys every night that most fans have never heard of getting 40. Like Gary Trent had 40 against the Cavs. Lou Dort had 40. Miles Bridges had like a 30-plus point triple-double. So every time the Cavs get a 28-point performance out of Colin and people go crazy, I say, well, look, it's never been easier to score in the NBA. You have four of the all-time efficient offenses right now in NBA history all transpiring right now. Meanwhile, the Cavs have gotten worse offensively from last year somehow and are ranked 29th in the NBA. Given all of that, I do have to give Colin credit for being consistent. He has turned into one of the most consistent guys in the NBA. You know what you're getting out of him almost every game, and I do think there's value in that.
Yeah, in terms of scoring, yes, sure, of course, fine. I've never disputed Colin as a scorer. Like, Colin is a wonderful scorer in the NBA. That's great, and there's a role for that. But does he make people around him better? Does he guard? He's
no.
6 feet tall with no handles. Like, that's a problem. And I hate to keep bashing the kid. I don't mean to, but they keep putting him in positions that he shouldn't be in. This Darius Colin backcourt is not going to work. Like, it's not. We have plenty of evidence. They need to break these guys up. They would be better apart from each other. Put Colin on the bench. Let him run the second unit. It's perfect. He has the perfect skill set for that, but they refuse to do it. So until they do it, this is what you're going to get. This is not guys who can guard together. They get beat badly defensively. You just can't. And the Cavs will throw out examples of Portland and CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. These guys are not CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard.
And they're looking to blow that up, apparently.
Yeah, tell them.
Yeah.
They're talking about moving McCollum out of the starting lineup, and you know all the money they're paying McCollum. And this is where I get a little incredulous on the talk of giving Colin Sexton a max deal. I heard some really smart people that I trust the other day say, well, if the Cavs were fortunate enough to get the number one pick in the draft, you still take Cade Cunningham. And then maybe somebody like Sexton comes off the bench. How are you going to have Sexton come off the bench with close to max money? There's no chance. That would never happen.
No, I totally agree, and that's why I've said it's going to be a massive mistake if they try and build this team around Colin Sexton. They will regret it. It will be – that is not – you just don't give a max contract. But they put him in that position to where, you know, they built him up as the centerpiece of this franchise for 4 years now, 3 years, however long it's been. And, you know, if I'm Colin's agent, I'm like, okay, you've been telling everyone how great I am. Now you got to pay me like it. See, and to me, I just think it's a huge mistake if they go that route.
I'd have no problem taking an abrupt right turn and go, yeah, that's what I told everybody. And here we are in realism here. We had to sell them to somebody after LeBron left, because it wasn't going to be Kevin Love, because Kevin Love signed this massive contract and then doesn't want to play for the team anymore. And so I got to sell somebody. The only person I really trust anymore is J.B. Bickerstaff. Like, I was a man without a country yesterday, Jason. I go, they lost to Detroit, which has a bunch of guys that most of our listeners have never even heard of. They had seven guys out in that game, and I'm supposed to be happy that they got more ping pong balls lined up for him. I go, Kobe Altman's going to make the pick. Oh, great. I'm just happy now. Am I supposed to be happy about any of this? I'm not. So I was just frustrated. It boiled over. I didn't mean to take a bunch of shots at Colin Sexton. I don't mind Colin Sexton. He's a really hard worker, but I just think that every terrible team in the NBA since I began watching the NBA when I was a kid had a Colin Sexton. And the Cavs
somebody's
have their Colin Sexton.
The
yeah.
Somebody's got to score the points.
Yes, if a bad team is going to still score 90 a game in the NBA, someone's got to score the most of those points.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Exactly right.
I felt the same way when they trade him. I think a lot of people may feel the same way that they did it with the Warriors when they traded away Monte Ellis. And I don't think it's going to work the same way for the Cavs, but we all saw that was probably the prudent move for the Warriors to make. By the way, how many texts do you get before we let you go? How many texts do you get about the TV show that we're on together?
Oh, a ton.
Somebody.
Can I tell you like a 10-second quick story?
Go ahead.
We're moving and we're building in a different neighborhood. So I knocked on a neighbor's door to see, like, because they built a model that we're building. And I wanted to know about it. And he opened the door and he goes, I was just watching you on golf. Like, I was just watching you on my TV 30 seconds ago. So, yeah, everyone's watching that. Everyone loves it. It was fun to do.
Someone says you have a ODOT sweater on.
I do not. That's
a neon green.
Sweater.
It's neon green.
It was yellow. It was not green. It was yellow.
He spends cold Indians games in the press box. He's building a new house on the far west side. Congratulations to Jason Lloyd on all his success.
Man of the people.
Yeah, man of the people over there. Real, really connected with the fans of Cleveland.
Leave it to you to twist that around. Leave it to you.
Yeah. I'm a piece of garbage, Jason, and it's about time you realize that, okay?
I'm going to go close the gates to my house now and
to your estate?
Yeah, to your luxurious estate.
The compound.
Keep the riffraff like me out of there, huh?
The cul-de-sac, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Whatever. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. And you live in a cul-de-sac, too.
Shut up.
216-578-0092. I don't know why I threw out the number unless you want to call about cul-de-sacs. Coming up next, a little bit more of the Steelers, the draft, and I got to get to this picture that Lima posted from his Tremont. Is it the Tremont Neighborhood Crime Page or what is it?
The famed Tremont Crime Page.
All right, that all coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.